Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Lakeside Church of the Brethren. Welcome to our online service. We're glad you're here, and I'm Christian Becker, and I greet you today in Jesus' name. You know, we've not been able to gather physically in some time, but we still claim the promise. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, I am with them. For some time now, online's been our only option, but we're exploring how we can meet together again safely in our building. Until then, thank God that we can meet like this. Right, just a couple of quick announcements. Remember to share the good news about our sermon section on our website where we post these services. And if you have Facebook, remember to share the service announcement on the church's Facebook page to your page by clicking on the share button at the bottom. If you haven't liked our Facebook page, please look it up and like it. Many folks are connected to our church there, and we use it to encourage and communicate with each other. And remember to stay in touch and check up on each other and your neighbors. Now's a good time to send a card. We are a Lakeside Church, and we pray for and we encourage each other. Also, you can send me a message through Facebook or through our website, or you can call me if you have a prayer request or a need. We miss seeing everyone, and while this situation lasts, remember to stay in touch. Remember to pray for our leaders, for those that are ill, for our community, and for our church family. All right, let's turn our hearts toward worship. This week we celebrate Ascension Day, and it celebrates the day that Jesus, as someone put it, started working from home in heaven. I like that. The Bible says to praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Let's lift our voices in praise to Jesus the Christ, our great God and King today, and let's sing together a beautiful old hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee.
All right, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we once again gather together in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Thank you for raising him from the dead to give us the promise of a new life. Thank you that he now sits in heaven at your right hand to intercede for us and to claim us as his own. We lift our prayer to you today and ask you that you would heal our land. As we turn our hearts toward you and turn our eyes to your word, please meet with us and encourage us and inspire us today. We pray again for all those in authority over us, for our president, our elected representatives in Congress, our governors. We pray that you would give them your wisdom, wisdom beyond their own. We pray for all those healthcare providers on the front lines, treating the sick. Lord, we pray for protection for them and wisdom for them as well. Pray that you would heal those who are ill and give grace to the families and to those who are grieving. We pray, Lord, also for your wisdom and grace and mercy for ourselves as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank all our Lakesiders who are listening for your faithful support of Lakeside Church with the Lord's tithes and your offerings. The Bible reminds us to honor the Lord with your wealth and bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. One of our traditions that we enjoy at Lakeside is singing the doxology while we present our offerings and the Lord's tithes. And even though we're not together today, let's sing it like we were. You know, during this uncertain time of our lives, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the one leader who will never let you down. Let's listen and sing along with one of the great older hymns, He Leadeth Me. And I hope this song will say what you're experiencing right now. If not, it can be if you will follow Jesus Christ.
Oh, blessed Lord, oh, worthy.
today we're concluding the Not Afraid series that we began last month using resources from Craig Groeschel of Life Church. And before we turn to the Word of God, let's briefly talk again to the God of the Word. Father in heaven, we ask you today to send your Holy Spirit to speak to us through your Word, the Bible. Speak to us to encourage us and bring us comfort in our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a recent Time magazine article, The Age of Anxiety, the American Psychological Association reported on a survey on the topic of stress. The author's findings stated that more than half of Americans say that the present day is the worst period of American history that they can remember. The article discussed the significant effects of stress and anxiety on the lives of people affected by the coronavirus. Nearly half, 45% of Americans, said they were losing sleep due to stress. More people than in previous surveys were dealing with symptoms like headaches or stomach aches and feeling anxious and overwhelmed. I wonder, how are you responding to the effects of stress and anxiety in your life during this pandemic? You know, when I feel unsettled or anxious, I find great comfort in God's Word. But whether we want to admit it or not, we all get anxious. I don't care who you are. I don't care how holy you are, how spiritual you are. I don't care how many Bible verses you've memorized. We can all still get worried. Sometimes we battle anxiety during normal times, like way back in the old days, like 3 months ago in February of 2020, when things were normal. Our big concerns back then, if you remember, were Kobe Bryant's memorial service, Fat Tuesday of Mardi Gras, and making sure you got your favorite Girl Scout cookies. But if you had a presentation or a project due at school or at work, maybe a family situation going on, any number of things, you could still have been anxious. Now all you have to do is turn on the TV or look at social media and you're bombarded with stress-inducing news. The world is falling apart. The economy is up. The economy is down. They're projecting how many thousands of people are going to get sick and how many will die. But you know the wonderful thing about the Bible? It was written by people who are ordinary, people like you and me. God divinely used the authors of Scripture to tell us what we need to know to face the trials of life. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians in the New Testament while he was imprisoned in Rome. In his world, Christians were viewed with suspicion and disdain. Following Jesus meant you could suffer greatly. And I believe that what he wrote to these early followers of Jesus will bring encouragement to your heart and maybe help bring you some peace today. Please take your Bible and let's turn together to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 to 7. I'll be using the New International Version, but use whatever version you have. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the Word of God. It is here that we will see God's path from panic to peace. The first step on that path, the path to peace, Paul says is to rejoice in the Lord. What are we to do? Rejoice. When are we to do it? Always. Now, what you may feel today is panic. What you may want is peace. How do we get it? God's word tells us. It is by rejoicing always. In other words, in good times we rejoice, and in more difficult times we rejoice. We rejoice when the economy is strong. We rejoice when the economy is weak. We rejoice when we are well and healthy. We rejoice if we are ill. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." You might say, "Well, how?" Well, may I suggest that you remind yourself of what God has done for you? He saved your soul if you're a follower of Jesus. He's forgiven your sin and promised you a place in heaven. And in addition, we have a purpose in life of sharing the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and pointing others to him. The result of rejoicing in the Lord is that the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that leads to the next step from panic to peace, and that is to be gentle to all. He says in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. How does that happen? Well, as a result of rejoicing in the Lord, focusing on Him, and remembering what we saw last time, that God is near, that means we know that God is with us. God is not a far-off, distant, uninvolved God. He's a loving, caring, compassionate God. He's always near, and He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you, the Bible says. And that helps us have a gentle spirit instead of being short-tempered with panic. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle with others. They're the first two steps. Next, he says, resist anxiety. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Let's pause there for a moment. Don't be anxious about anything. About anything. I'm curious, did any of you disobey that command recently? Anybody? I know I did. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. What is anxiety or worry? The Greek word translated anxious here means to be pulled in different directions. Our hopes pull us in one direction, our fears pull us in the opposite direction, and we are pulled apart. Worry affects our thinking, and it affects us physically as well. We saw that in that article from Time magazine. This is really, really a difficult season to live in. What I know is there's different levels of anxiety. For some of you, it's not been that bad. Many people might say, well, this has actually been a good time. We're having more family time together, and it started out well. You're excited to spend time with your kids, and you've been home educating them. But now maybe you're having second thoughts, like, I feel like killing one of these kids, or I'd trade that one for two rolls of toilet paper. You know, there are different levels of stress. Some of you are dealing with kids at home. Others are worried that you might be sick, or you've got some relatives that are sick, or you've lost a job, or there's the potential you might lose a job. Some of you may be battling anxiety or depression, and you're not even sure why you are. It feels like you're under attack. We're worried, we're afraid, we're anxious, and that's why we're looking at the path from panic to peace in God's Word. First, rejoice in the Lord always. Next, be gentle to all. Third, don't be anxious about anything. Then the Apostle Paul tells us how we are to do it. How do we do it, Paul? With prayer and with praise. The Bible says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He describes the process as being by prayer and petition. In other words, no matter what you're facing right now, in every single situation, he says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. We could say it this way, with prayer and praise. We're going to be thankful, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask for what we need. With prayer and with praise, we're going to present our request to God. When we pray, when we praise, we present our request to God. And the result, Paul said, the result is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, we can't explain it even with human comprehension. That peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think of that, prayer and praise. When we pray and we praise, God gives us His peace. You could say that prayer and praise precedes peace. What does this peace do? This peace guards our hearts and our minds. What is it that guards? The peace guards us as we pray and praise. The man Daniel in the Old Testament gives us a wonderful example of this path to peace. When the king announced that no one was to pray to anyone except the king, Daniel went to his room, opened the windows, and prayed as he had before. Listen to how he prayed. The Bible says he prayed giving thanks to God. Prayer and giving thanks or praise to God. And the result was peace in the middle of crisis. Daniel ended up spending that night in the lion's den, but he was in perfect peace, while the king in his palace, the Bible says, could not even sleep. Many people around the world right now have been feeling panic. Maybe you feel anxious, worried, and afraid. What you feel is panic, but what you want is peace. How is it that we get this peace? What is it that we do to experience the peace of God? The peace is preceded by the prayer and the praise. We could say it this way, that prayer and praise are the pathway from panic to peace. Prayer and praise are the pathway from panic to peace. What does peace do? Peace guards your hearts and minds. So prayer and praise bring peace, which guards our hearts and minds. Therefore, it's important that we keep our guard up. But sadly, not many do. Prayer and praise takes time and thought, and so we let it go in the busyness of life. We let our guard down, and that's right when the enemy attacks. Don't drop your guard. What guards you? Peace guards you. What brings peace? Prayer and praise bring peace. So to get from panic to peace, God tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle to all. Resist anxiety and keep up your guard and pray and praise. But there's something else you need to know to keep anxiety at bay and preserve your peace. We learn it from the Apostle Peter, and that is that you need to know your enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." This is Peter's version of what Paul wrote to the Philippians. First, he says to unburden your heart. He writes, "Cast all of your anxiety on him." Who? On the Lord. If you're anxious right now, if you're afraid, if you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your health, if you don't know what's coming, what you need to do is cast your anxiety onto the Lord. Remember, Peter was a fisherman, and he uses here a fishing picture of casting or of throwing a net out on the water. He says to throw all of your anxiety, all of your cares, all your fears, all your worries, all your burdens on God, because he cares for you. Wherever you are, if you're in a hospital room right now, God is near. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He cares for you. If you're worried about how you're going to feed your kids, he cares for you. And then Peter gives a warning. You need to know your enemy. The enemy isn't a virus. It's not a bad economy. It's the devil. First, he says, don't drop your guard. In verse 8, he writes, be alert and of sober mind. In other words, keep your guard up. Be ready with prayer. Be ready with praise. Be alert and of sober mind. Why? Because you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Your enemy is on the attack. How does he attack? Well, the devil's target is your mind. His weapon is his lies. What does he do? He lies to you. He says, well, you won't be able to pay your bills. You're not going to make the rent this month. You know, your marriage probably won't survive this. He'll tell you, you're going to get sick and you'll be all alone. If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow this to happen to you. The devil comes at you again and again. His target is your mind. His weapon is his lies. And that's why you have to tell yourself again and again, the devil is a liar and he's been a liar from the beginning. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Prayer and praise. Keep your guard up. You know, I learned a long time ago that when anxiety is coming after me, I have to go to God and take it to him in prayer with praise. So what are we to do? We keep our guard up. We go to God with prayer, and we go to God with praise. Whenever anxiety attacks, whenever you feel worried, keep your guard up and continue prayer and praise. Well, let's talk about prayer and praise for a minute. Prayer and praise should be the first response. It should be your first response when there's a problem or a crisis. You know, sometimes people talk about prayer, and they say very spiritually, well, all we can do now is pray. I wonder what God thinks when somebody says that, all we can do now is pray. In other words, you're in big trouble, and someone says, well, all you've got is the power of God. What? Listen to me. Prayer is never, ever our last resort. Prayer is always a first line of offense. We can pray. We can go to God in prayer, and that's what we must do. We are people of prayer. We've got our guard up. We're going to the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God with whom the Bible says nothing is impossible. The Bible says that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, and sometimes the only faith we have is just a little bit of faith, but if we have that faith in God, we can say to a mountain, be removed, and as God hears that prayer, he will remove that mountain in his time and his way. We need to go to God like the persistent widow in Luke 18. You remember her? She went to the judge again and again with relentless faith and prayer, and finally got her request. We need to pray not with the safe and polished formal prayers you might hear me pray over dinner or at a church service. I'm talking about the kind of prayers you don't want anybody else to hear. The prayers that are from your heart, from the depths of your soul, where you cry out to God in anguish. And you say, Lord, help, help, send help. Lord, I need your mercy. I need your grace. We pray and we praise. We thank God for who he is, not just for what we see. We thank him for his character, for his nature. We don't stop with the prayers about what we want, but we pray and we praise. Consider with me Paul's example. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel, but instead he found himself in Rome as a prisoner locked up waiting for possible execution. So what did he say? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, a peace from heaven, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Keep your guard up. Don't drop your guard. Now, how could the Apostle Paul praise God when he might be executed? Because God helped him see that his suffering was furthering the gospel in a way that nothing else could have. Back in Philippians chapter 1, Paul talked about how imprisonment opened the door for him to preach the gospel to Roman soldiers. He says there, hey, guess what? It's become clear to all the Roman leaders that I'm actually in chains for Christ. In other words, he's saying, they thought I was a prisoner, but you know what? I get a new guard chained to me every day, who's a real captive audience. And I get to tell him all about the grace and goodness of Jesus. And then he said, because of my chains, most of the other Christians are becoming more confident in the Lord, and they're sharing their faith without fear. Wow. You know, if I've learned anything in my short life, it's that what the devil meant for evil, God is going to use for good. The Bible says that God is working in all things, in everything, even in the bad things, to bring about good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. One report I recently read said that tens of thousands of people are coming to Christ as a result of this pandemic. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? So how do we get from panic to peace? We're going to pray and we're going to praise. We're going to keep our guard up. We're going to see God working in places we never expected. So don't drop your guard. Don't let the anxiety of this world overcome the peace that God gives you in your heart. What do? You pray to God about everything. You praise him in all things. Wherever you are, praise him. Praise him today. I'm talking about the kind of praise that no one can stop, no matter what you see. Let everything the Bible says that has breath praise the Lord. What happens when you pray and you praise? You start passing from fear to faith. You start moving from worry to peace. You're the people of God. You have the power of the risen Christ dwelling within you. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Is this a very difficult time? Absolutely, it's hard. Are there many, many problems to be solved? Yes and yes. But if you're in Christ, remember, you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Remember, the devil is always a liar. Don't drop your guard. We pray and we praise. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and praise, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't drop your guard. With Christ, you will get through this. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, We ask today that you would give us all your peace, the peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand it. Please give it to those who are hurting, who feel anxious, afraid, don't know what's going to happen. For those who are worried about their health or worried about how they're going to pay the bills, help them to cast their cares upon you, Lord, to cast all their anxiety on Jesus because you care for them and can meet their needs. I thank you, God, that you care for all of us. We thank you that you're a good God. You're a God who never leaves us. You're a God who always comforts us. You're a God who always provides. As we come to you with prayer, with thanksgiving, and with praise, God, may your peace that goes beyond our understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We ask all of this in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Maybe as you listen to all this today, you would say, well, you know, if I'm honest, I don't know a thing about that peace. Perhaps the reason you're watching and listening today is because God wants to give you that peace. He wants to reveal himself to you. We talked about Jesus in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel simply means good news. Let me give you the best news that you will ever hear. If you've ever wondered, where do I stand with God? You know, I feel like I've done so many things wrong. The reality is you have, and so have I. And the good news is that God sent Jesus, his only son, who was perfect and without sin, to be the innocent sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. He gave his life. God raised him from the dead so that anyone, and this includes you, anyone who calls on his name, the name of Jesus, God will forgive every single sin they've ever committed. He will save you, and not just from eternal hell, but he can save you for a life of peace and joy and ministry to make a difference in this world for eternity. Wherever you are right now, just pray out loud. Talk to God. Say something like this: Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, save me, make me new, fill me with your spirit so I can follow you, walk with you, live for you, and show your love in all I do. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And then say amen. Now, if that was you just now, welcome to the family of God. Get a Bible you can understand, begin reading in the New Testament Gospel of John, and find a church that preaches and teaches the Bible. To close our service, let's praise our God together with the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I invite you to make this your prayer and sing it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, and Lord willing, I'll see you again here next week. And remember to listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul.